In that, I didn't get to make the trip last year because of health issues, but hopefully I'm going to be able to go in October this year. The Jaw School of Biblical Studies is a four-year school. We do have a two-year and a three-year program, but most of our students go through 4 years, get a certified, locally recognized bachelor's degree in biblical studies. And we're graduating between 25 and 35 workers every year. Many of them are Nigerian, but we also have students from Uganda and Chad and Liberia, other African nations. And so I feel that this is truly one of the great works that is going on in our brotherhood right now. We're training men, they're getting quality training in evangelism. Our students go out every weekend, and we've had, in the last year, we've had two congregations established in the area of Jos. We've baptized over 100 people in that area, and there's a tremendous opportunity in the city of Abuja, which is the capital of Nigeria. Bible correspondence work is very effective there, and so we have a Bible correspondence situation on our campus that serves all of northern Nigeria, but Abuja is the capital. They have about 8 million people now, and within a decade they're going to have more than 10 million people. We have 47 congregations of the Lord's Church in the city of Abuja. We've met with all of those evangelists, and we're going to set up a Bible correspondence course for the city of Abuja, the capital city, and use that and have drop-off places at each of the local congregations where when people hand out that first lesson, they'll tell them to drop it in the drop box at the church building. It'll be taken to a central location and graded, but people that way will be conscious of where the nearest Church of Christ is, and if they do complete the course and wish to obey the gospel or have further study, all of those evangelists of those congregations have agreed to do the follow-up work. So I just wanted to take about 3 or 4 minutes and share that with you, because I think it is tremendously encouraging, some of the things that are being done on the field and particularly in Africa. Now, school is out. I don't hear any kids groaning. I see some smiles, and everybody seems happy about that. I don't know about the particular school where your children and grandchildren attend. My wife still does a little bit of subbing at Lauderdale County down in Alabama in the elementary school. Because I'm involved in a civic organization there, I'm aware of the awards day that they do at the end of the year. And many schools throughout the nation have what they call an awards day. It may be that a student gets an award for perfect attendance. I never got that one. One thing my parents did that probably they should not have done is they let me stay home on my birthday and took me fishing, and my birthday was in April. So that always X'd out perfect attendance. I usually had a little sickness or something also, but that was just one of the breaks I had growing up. The other things that are usually recognized, academics, somebody makes straight A's, or maybe even the principal's list, which maybe will include a few B's. A lot of schools recognize character, and rightly they should. I don't think our public education is emphasizing character to the degree that it did even when I was in school many, many, many years ago. But you think about the awards day and the things that are recognized that day. For students to be recognized for academic achievement, they have to have worked and put in some effort. They have to have studied. And so, when you think about awards day, let's put this in another arena. What about the school of life? What about at the end of life, just like at the end of a school year? will there not be a time when there will be decisions made about what awards will or will not be given? And what will be the basis of that? We're going to look at some things tonight that indicate the importance of records and the fact that God keeps records. You and I, generally, because we know we're going to have to file taxes April the 15th, I've got a file cabinet and I put in it everything that I think is a possible tax deduction. I have a tax file. I have one that includes specific things. I like to keep those records because when it comes time in April to file those taxes, I like to be able to fill that out, to pull that out and fill out those forms. And I take it to a CPA who does my tax for me and has for many years. But those records are important. And we all keep records. We think about deeds of property that we might own. Or if we're going to buy it, we want to be sure it is a clear deed that we will have the property that we're paying for. Most of us have retained our marriage license. If we've lost a loved one, we're probably familiar with getting a death certificate. When we have a new baby born into the family, we have to file and get a birth certificate. When it comes to dealing with the credit bureau, if we want to get a loan, we have to have some records that show that we have established good credit. All of those records are important. Even when a man runs for political office, they're going to run on a record of their achievements. Now, in the school of life, how is that going to apply? What kind of records are being kept concerning the life that I live and the life that you live? Turn with me to the book of Revelation chapter 20. I want to read verses 12 through 15 as a basis for our thoughts tonight. Chapter 20 began actually with verse 11. And here the writer John says, "And I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. And death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." Here he mentions the books were open. Books is plural. He mentions the book of life, but there are other books that are going to be a part of that final awards day in the school of life. If you look at a passage like Romans chapter 2 and verse 6, the statement is made there. It says, "Who will render to every man according to his deeds?" God keeps a record of my life and yours. He knows each and every deed we do. He knows the things that we should do that we have left undone. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, Paul says, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." On that final day, when we stand before our Maker and we give an account for the life that we've lived here on this earth, we will be judged by the deeds that we have committed or the things that we have failed to do. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 27 says, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then shall he reward every man according to his works. God is the ultimate record keeper. He keeps a record of our good deeds. He has a record to indicate whether or not our sins have been blotted out. Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46 says that he will have a record that indicates whether or not we have fed the hungry, whether or not we have given a glass of cold water to those who are thirsty, whether we have welcomed strangers, whether we have clothed the naked, whether we have visited those in prison. You know, that's a pretty awesome assignment. Think about all those things, and Jesus, on that occasion, said, "Inasmuch as you have not done this unto one of the least of mine, you have not done it unto me." You and I need to take seriously our responsibility, yes, to help with social issues, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, welcoming the stranger. All those things are Christian activities that we should be involved in. No deed is too small to be recognized and kept in the record book. Matthew 10:42 says, "If we give a drink of cold water unto one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, do it because we are Christians." That's why we can be patient and tolerant with children. We encourage them. We love them. We want them to come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so, not just a drink of cold water on a summer, hot summer day, but every act of kindness to little children is something that God will have a record of. I mentioned that it will also, that book of deeds, will tell whether or not our sins have been blotted out. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19 says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." King David made some serious mistakes. His sin with Bathsheba was one of the most, it was a sad point in his life. It caused him to commit murder. Not only did he commit adultery, but it led to other sins such as murder. But in Psalms 51 is his prayer of penitence. This is where he asked God to forgive him. Psalms 51 and 1 says, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." David didn't hide his sin. He acknowledged it, and he asked God to blot it out. That was his concern. Not at one point, yes, he tried to hide his sin. He tried to cover it up, and he committed other sins in so doing. But in the end, David said, "Please blot out my transgressions," plural. You and I need to know tonight that if we have sinned and transgressed God's law and have not complied with his standard of forgiveness, then our sins are still there. Somebody said, "You can fool all of the people some of the time. You can fool some of the people all the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time." I think we need to add to that. You can't fool God anytime. He knows exactly what I've done. He knows exactly what you've done. He has a book of deeds that will have all of those things recorded in it, unless they've been blotted out by the blood of Jesus Christ. If we have obeyed the gospel, then our past sins will be erased. He will remember them no more. They will not show up in that book if they are covered by the blood of Christ. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 17, I believe I mentioned that verse this morning, and it says, "And their sins and iniquities I will remember no more." The book of deeds will have a record of what you and I have done. as servants of the King. It will have a record of we have met the local congregation, whether or not we've been faithful in worship, whether we have been faithful in encouraging others, whether we have given as we have been prospered. You know, Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 20 is a really key passage here. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break in and steal. You and I can have a lot of money in the bank account. The bank can go under. Don't say it can't happen. It happened in 1929. You know, stock market crash, all of those things. It could happen. I know we've got laws and all of these things that are supposed to prevent that from happening again. But it could happen, friends. It could all be gone in just the blink of an eye. But what you and I have invested in eternity, what we have given to the Lord and to His Word, that will be there for us. You know, He not only will have a record of how we have worked and served in the local congregation, but He'll have a record of those that we have tried to influence with the gospel of Christ. Whether it's our children, our neighbors, our work associates, or whatever, we need to understand, according to what the wise man said in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30, the latter part of that verse, where it said, he that winneth souls is wise. I admire anybody who has been successful in their career, but somebody who's been successful in their career and has also brought others to Christ in the process, that's a marvelous thing. In Daniel chapter 12 and verse 30, it says, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. And you know the folks that we are most responsible for? Those who are closest to us, our family, our neighbors, the people who live around us, the people that we work with every day, the people that we sit together in a classroom with. God expects us to be His representatives and to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. There are a couple of songs that we sing. I guess you sing them here at Pleasant View because they've been around a long time. Lead Me to Some Soul Today. That's a song we need to sing more often because we need to be aware of the fact that it's not just the preacher or just the elders or just the Bible class teachers that have a responsibility to teach the Word. Every Christian needs to share with others the good news of Jesus. Another song that we sing sometimes is Must I Go and Empty Handed. You know, I talked about just a moment ago the fact that if we have obeyed the gospel, then our sins will be blotted out. It is interesting to me that in the book of Romans, their bookends, chapter 1 and verse 4 and chapter 16 and verse 26, at the beginning and at the end of the book of Romans, it talks about the obedience of faith. Many of our religious friends say as long as you've got faith, everything is fine. But you see, the Bible gives further qualification. It's not just believing because the demons believe and tremble. That won't get it done by itself. But when you talk about obedient faith, faith without works is dead. It's on your marquee, I believe, out there right now. And so we need to understand that faith that justifies is faith that obeys and does what the Lord asks of each and every one of us. Our book of deeds, or the book of deeds regarding our enrollment in the School of Life, will tell whether or not we have kept our lives pure and clean, or whether we have lived a life of hypocrisy. James 1:27 defines pure and undefiled religion as this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. whether we like it or not, whether it makes us uncomfortable or not, we are not supposed to live by the standard that the world accepts. You know, all kinds of things have become acceptable in our culture, our society. But we as Christians have to stand up and be different, keep ourselves unspotted from this world. You know, whether or not we've held grudges. The King James translation says in James chapter 5 and verse 19, grudge not one against another. One of the other translations says, complain not one against another. Gets back to the idea that we were talking about this morning. We need to encourage one another. We need to lift one another up. We need to challenge each other to become a better person day by day and week by week. James, 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, James says, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us of all our sins, to forgive us and cleanse us of all our sins. Friend, I hope that it is the case with you, that you are living your life in a way that is bringing honor and glory to the cause of Christ, and that you have indeed obeyed the gospel, and that you are truly giving your best effort to honor Christ every single day that you live. In that Revelation 20 passage, it mentions the book of life, having one's name written in the book of life. That's one of those books that are going to be there. The book of deeds, the book of life. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 27 says, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. He's talking about heaven there. If a person's going to go to heaven, it will be because their name has been written in the Lamb's book of life. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3 says, I entreat thee also, true young fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with my other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Seems there was a disagreement between a couple of women there, and one of the things that I deduct from that is that we may have a disagreement about a matter of opinion with a brother or a sister, but that doesn't remove our name from the book of life. If it's a matter of opinion, it really doesn't matter. My opinion is as good as yours. Yours is as good as somebody else's. But if it's a matter of faith, then the Bible should settle the matter. Whatever God has revealed in His Word is what we need to go by, and not to bind our opinions upon one or another. Some names will be blotted out that have once been written in the book of life. Think about that. What an honor it is to have your name written in God's book of life. What a wonderful privilege that is. But then, how frightening the thought that it could be removed. And I believe that is very clear when we look at a number of passages. Some names will be blotted out. Exodus chapter 32 and verse 33. And the Lord said to Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of the book of life. I know that's Old Testament, but I believe that is God speaking to his people, that if we sin against him, he will blot our names out of the book of life. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 19 says the same thing in the New Testament. Hear what John wrote there. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. We don't have the right to pick up this book and say, well, now, I agree with what he says here, but over here, I don't like this, and I'm not going to do that. You and I don't have that privilege. If we don't keep his word, if we take away, you know, John says if we add to the book, then the plagues of this book will be added unto us. And if we take away from the words of the prophecy, God will take away our part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in the book of life. The book of life is written for those who were faithful. Malachi chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 says, Then they that feared the Lord spoke often to one another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son and serveth him. Only the faithful will have their names written there in the book of life. We must, in order to preserve our names, once they've been recorded in the book of life, we must continue to be faithful. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5, concerning the church at Sardis, John wrote to them and said, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name of the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before the angels. On the matter of obedience to the gospel, as one makes the good confession, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus clearly has told us that if we are not willing to make that confession, he will not confess us before the Father, which is in heaven. Ezekiel, the Old Testament prophet, also gave some instruction in this regard. In chapter 18 and verse 24, Ezekiel said, but when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he had done shall not be mentioned in his trespass that he has trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them he shall die. But if the wicked will turn from their sins, then their sins will not be mentioned. Chapter 18, verses 21 and 22, but if the wicked turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, and he shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. And then verses 26 and 27 in that same chapter. When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and dieth in them, for his iniquity that he hath done shall he die. And again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive. What that says, bottom line, is this: you and I have control over whether or not our name will continue to be in the book of life once it has been written there. If we remain faithful and live a life of righteousness and service and honoring our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then if we're faithful unto death, we're going to have our name in the Lamb's book of life. But if we turn away from righteousness and go back and commit iniquity, Peter says that state would be worse than having never known the truth at all. You know, the book of life needs to have my name in it. It needs to have your name in it. Every one of us need to be conscious not only of the life that we live, the deeds that we commit, but ask ourselves, is my name written in the Lamb's book of life? Again, he mentioned there in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, a plural number of books. Not only a record of our deeds and a record of whether or not we've been obedient to the gospel and have our name written in the Lamb's book of life, but there's another book that's going to be there, and that's this one. Jesus said in John chapter 12 and verse 48, he that rejected me and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him, even the words that I have spoken. The message in this book, especially the New Covenant, for those of us who are living this side of Calvary, for those of us who are living in the 21st century, this book will be there, and we will be judged by the words that are written in it. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 16, Paul wrote to the church at Rome, and he said, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. In Matthew chapter 25, again, verses 31 through 46, this is an example there where he describes the judgment scene. There are going to be people who are going to say, Lord, didn't we do great things in your name? Didn't we do this or that or the other? You know, we're not going to be judged strictly by whether or not we've been a good person. Certainly we will be a good person if we obey the gospel and try to follow in the steps of Jesus. But that day is not going to be one, well, were you a good person? Did you do what you thought was right? No, the standard that day is going to be whether or not we've done what this book says we need to do. You know, this is a book that contains the rules for living now. This is the book that tells us how to live our lives in a way that will please God and have His blessings. But in the future, it's going to be a book by which we will be judged. Did you serve me faithfully while you were walking upon the earth? Did you obey the gospel? Did you remain faithful? Did you do everything in your power to influence others to become Christians? What about your record tonight? Or my record tonight? Where do we stand when the books are going to be open? The book of deeds that's going to tell everything that I've done, every thought I've had, all of those things that have not been forgiven or covered by the blood of Christ are going to be there. We've all made mistakes. We've all sinned. We all have shortcomings. But the blood of Jesus will erase those things when we obey the gospel. We need to ask ourselves tonight, is my name written there? It can be if you'll become a Christian. You know, one of the things about it, our God is an accurate record keeper. All of His records are thorough and complete, and they're accurate. No quibble about it. No question about it. He'll have a record of everything that we've done, everything that we've said. It'll be up to date. You know, even you buy a computer and it has to be constantly updating, all this kind of thing. God's records are not that way. They're going to be up to date, they're going to be accurate, and they're going to be final. There's going to be no appeals court where you can say, you know, Lord, didn't I do this or didn't I do that? Going back to that Revelation chapter 20, verses 12 through 15, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. Is your name written there? You know, thinking about the school of life, we've all been blessed to live in a free country. We've all been blessed to have free access to the Word of God. I talk with different missionaries who go to different areas, and I remember somebody telling me not long ago about in Guyana. He was traveling to the interior part of the country, Brother Gene Johnson. And he was telling about the fact that they went into an area that they weren't familiar with. But one of the things they did, they had some Bibles, and a woman was out washing clothes in the river. And they came up close enough and they had to turn back. But they threw a Bible that landed right where that lady was working. And she picked it up, and she looked at it, and she got so excited. She was jumping up and down. She had never had her own Bible. That was obvious. And there are people who would give anything in this world to live where you and I live and have the free access to God's word and freedom to worship. In northern Nigeria, we have in one province, 11 out of 16 church buildings have been burned by the Boko Haram. And those schoolgirls that were kidnapped, about 12 of them were from families who are members of the Lord's church. Those are very real conditions that people live with and cope with in other countries every day. But you and I can assemble, we can lift our voices in praise, we can hear God's word presented, we have the opportunity to freely speak on behalf of Jesus Christ. The question is, are we doing what God wants us to do? Is my name written in the book of life? If it is not, your name can be added tonight. If you have not obeyed the gospel and will simply make that good confession that you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, turn away from sin, be immersed in water for the remission of sins, your name can be written in the Lamb's book of life. And the deeds that you have committed up to that point will be forgiven. And not only that, as long as you walk in the light, as Christ is the light, His blood will continually cleanse your sins. It's an ongoing process. And so, if there is anyone in this audience tonight that has a need, either to obey the gospel or to be restored, just like David, when he committed serious sin, adultery, murder, he pled for God to forgive him. And that's what's needed when we have sin in our lives. Ask God's forgiveness, and He'll restore us. He'll, in His mercy and compassion, forgive and blot those sins out. If you're subject to God's invitation, would you come as we stand and sing?